In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
The Detroit Lions defeats the Washington football team 30-27. On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we're going to talk about the game, and we're going to talk about our current feelings for this coaching staff. Can Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions make a playoff run? Find out on episode 142 of the Pride Podcast.
Victory screech!
Blue Wire.
He tries to go up and up. Oh, the Lions have got it. They took it away. Oh, how big is that? He's got it. Looks, throws, deep middle. And he's caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, Kenny Golladay, that's outstanding. That is outstanding.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 142 on the Blue Wire Network. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Indeed.com and BetOnline.ag. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm and Pierre. How are you boys doing today on this nice victory Monday, I guess, technically? How you boys doing?
Woo!
I'm good, man. I'm good. Honestly, the Lions win or lose, it does not affect my week anymore, so I'm good.
Man, kudos to you, bro.
You have that same energy, Malcolm?
No, I do not, man. If they lose, I get pissed off.
Yeah,
I get pissed.
If they lost yesterday's game, what would your energy be this week?
Oh, I'm
fire, Matt Patricia.
I probably wouldn't have a laptop to record, bro.
Really? Wow.
Is that deep, bro? I mean, I don't know.
I have mixed feelings right now. Yeah, like I would have been pissed on game day, but then like after the game, on Monday the next day, I'd be like, fuck it, man, we're not even that good, so it doesn't matter if we win or lose. To be honest, right now,
no, but to the Washington football team,
that's another level.
I mean, you saw what happened yesterday.
If we lose to the Washington football team, that's a whole nother level of bad.
Yeah, so I'm interested now. So on Sunday morning, your game day, you know, usually you're excited, you're hype, you can't wait for 1 o'clock for the game. I'm gonna start off with Malcolm. What was your game day vibes like yesterday? Was it the same energy from week one?
I woke up at noon.
So, no.
Yeah, I woke up pretty late. It was like 11:30. So I already missed like most of the stuff. Usually I'm up like 10 o'clock, like 9, 10 o'clock, and I'm watching all the stuff and getting ready to see who's in and out. By the time I woke up, I was like, all right, I already know who's inactive. I was like, oh, okay.
So it was a different vibe, I guess, but that was not the answer I was expecting. Okay. Pierre, what about you? What was your game day vibe?
So like Monday. Normally in Sunday mornings, I always get up. I do the shit I have to do. I always have some stuff to do. I want to do it before the game starts, so I do that. And then I kind of just like look over the actives and actives list and stuff like that. Normally, I'm really hyped. I wasn't that hyped yesterday. It was like whatever. Like, we're playing the Washington. We should win this. Go Lions. I mean, no, bro. Like, I wasn't as hyped.
I will say this. I was hyped when I heard the news that Swift was starting. That got me hyped. I was excited for that.
I mean, why do they wait this long though? Like we've seen it. Like they wait like till it's
fucking
pointless.
Fucking Bevel. That's why, man. You know why they waited this long.
You look at Kansas City and you look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville undrafted kid. They handed him the ball right away. Kansas City, they gave it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Why does Detroit wait till like week 10 or week whatever, week 9, week 10? Week 10, okay. Well, why do they wait that long? Like, it doesn't make sense. Anyways.
Yeah. No, I feel you, Pierre. My mood on Sunday morning was just not the same energy. It kind of felt almost like last year around this time of year when we were like out of it. And I'm like, yay, another Lions game. We're here again. And like, it didn't help that when Michigan doesn't win on Saturday, it does not help at all going into the following Sunday.
Bro, Michigan is a different story. I don't even want to talk about
that. Like, right it now. Just it kills your vibe.
I better stop because you know the future coach is not going to be happy y'all talk bad about him.
Oh, my God.
Malcolm,
you have to stop with this trend. You've been saying it now. Like, you're trying to predict that Jim Harbaugh is coming to Detroit. Like,
no.
It's not happening.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just playing. I wouldn't want that to happen. That'll piss me off, too.
You're not even from here. And, like, could you imagine, like, the Michigan, like, fans and Lions fans like us and, like, having to go through Harbaugh from Ann Arbor now just to downtown?
It's like an inside joke I've been doing, like, that we're just going to switch coaches.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get Matt Patricia. Like, Michigan going to get Matt Patricia. we're going to get Jim Harbaugh.
So that win yesterday did not secure Matt Patricia's job, you're saying?
Now we talk about the game. Y'all want to jump into the game?
I mean, like, for me to buy back in, they got to win the next two. It's going to be hard, but they got to win the next two.
Shit, you're better than me, man. I think they got to win the next three for me.
Well, I'm not impressed. The reason why I say the next two is because, I mean, Houston and Deshaun Watson, their record might not be as good, but that offense is no joke. And then
the Panthers. You see him yesterday versus the Browns?
The Texans?
They dropped 7 points on the Browns.
Ow.
It was 10-7 the game.
Bro, yeah. Bro, they're not good.
Their offense has been bad.
They miss. They miss Hop badly.
But like they got Cooks, they got Cobb, they got Fuller, they got Jordan Atkins, Darren Fowler, Deshaun Watson.
Not enough, bro. They're bad.
Their O line is trash, though. I'm not gonna lie.
That team is trash.
Really? And the coaching is not as good either.
It's Romeo Crennel, the oldest. He's older than Paul Pasqualoni. Like, I'm not making that up. He actually legit is older than Paul Pasqualoni. That team is not good. But, yeah. So, okay, let's get into this game. We played the football team this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that Texans from far away. I just thought they were loaded on offense. I'll wait till we watch the tape on them and break them down. We'll wait till, like, Thanksgiving week.
And that's why I say I'm going to be impressed for two games.
So never mind that. I won't be impressed. They got to do more than that.
Yeah, that's just me. I mean, I don't know.
But, I think if they win these next two games, though, I think that's showing something, though. Like, you got through
the... At least they're winning. I mean, they're winning the game that they're supposed to win.
Yeah, and then at least you're setting up for an interesting December. If you win the next two games, you'd be above 500.
And it'd be 6-5.
6-5. So, I mean, at least you're setting up for something if you... get by these next two games, setting up for an interesting December. You would still need to have a very successful December. But, I mean, Malcolm, I mean, remember when I asked you this question after the Colts game? I asked, what do the Lions have to do in these next four games? You said 3-1.
Yeah.
You said 3-1, they'd be in shape.
I did.
But the way they're winning these games, though, sometimes...
I'm definitely agreeing. But I told the Melko, I said 4-0 that they have to go. So
think about it. 3-1, they're in good shape still. I mean, record wise and playoff wise, they're in good shape. But they're just not
a good
team. I gotta be honest, dude. Washington missed the field goal yesterday. If they made that field goal, we're looking at a whole different game.
I mean, you could say what ifs, whatever. Yeah, I mean, like, if the Desmond Trufant penalty wasn't called, the game's over.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, they're, like, kind of, like, from a missed field goal away to losing to Washington, kind of. Like, I'm just kind of, like, looking at it sort of like that.
I'm just mad that they let him come back.
Yeah,
that's, like, what I'm talking about. Like, you're up 24-3, and, fuck, man. Like, what the hell?
No, this team sucks, man. It's going to be a lot more than these next two games to convince me that this team is legit. If they get past these next two games, I'm interested. I'm going to keep my eye out, obviously, like I am every game. But, like,
yeah,
you're going to be excited for game days. It's going to, you know, be exciting again. But This team has shown no major improvement from last year to this year. And you might say, oh, look at the record. Yeah, they already have more wins than last year. But do you actually see any difference from this team last year from this year? Maybe just the, I mean, Wood Stafford, when he was playing those first 8 games or 9 games, whatever it was.
Wasn't it 3-4-1 with Stafford and now they're 4-5? It's basically the same thing.
Like, this is just the same team to me. Like, we always say if Stafford was probably healthy all year last year, even though they won 3 games, they probably win around 7, maybe 8 games, right? If Stafford's healthy all year.
Or 9, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I thought
nobody knows.
That's what I'm saying. But like,
but they definitely won in more than 3 games. I mean, that's
yeah,
a fact.
But like, this is kind of what I expected. This is like the team that I expected. It's like I mentioned, it's not going to be the worst team in football. You're not going to lose to teams like the Jets. I can't even say the Giants because the Giants actually look okay. But the Jets, football team, whatever, you're not going to be looking as bad as them. But then at the same time, you're not good enough with the big dogs. The teams like the Steelers, the Chiefs, you know, the Saints, whatever. You're not there with the big dogs right there. So right now the Lions are just stuck, man. They're stuck in no man's land. This sucks. And that game yesterday proved me nothing. Besides that, they're maybe worse than I thought they were. I mean, at least in the first half, they looked promising. The third quarter looked promising. But they might be worse than I thought they were. Blowing that game to Alex Smith and the football team, they didn't blow it. But blowing that lead to Alex Smith and the football team, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
You know what? That, you know what's hilarious? Do you guys see Patricia's reaction? Like, looked up, kind of, and kind of like,
yeah.
He was wearing a mask, but it looks like he was like,
oh, "Here we go again."
Here we go again.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. And then, but like, we were talking like about negatives. Can I bring up a couple positives? Just like, yeah, that I saw.
There were some positives.
The O-line played well against a really good front. We talked about how good that front was. They did really well against them. And then they also were able to pass the ball against the number one ranked pass defense, which was really encouraging. Especially without Kenny Golladay, I thought they struggled more in that department. And so that was really nice to see. And then also, I mean, we blame Bevel a lot, but yesterday he was pretty good for the most part. Yeah, he always has his questionable calls, but for the most part yesterday he was really good. Utilized Swift well. The play action was there. Got everyone involved. Maybe Hawk should have been involved a little more, but I mean, I thought he was pretty good yesterday for the most part, Bevel.
Yeah, Stafford played a very clean game. He was sharp. Offense, for the most part, looked good yesterday. They're running the ball really well through the gaps of DeAndre Swift.
Yeah,
Swift just looked very good. Yeah. Swift looked really good yesterday.
Yeah.
Stafford looked very good, like I mentioned. Bevel, he looked good in the at moments, but there was times where the Lions offense was just getting 3 and outs and giving Washington the football right back. They had all the momentum and they were scoring. The offense wasn't staying on the field. It was coming very conservative. I don't know. So was it a better game for Bevel? Yeah, for sure. But I wouldn't necessarily say it was a good game for Doe Bevel, if that makes sense.
Maybe it was like his best game he's called this year. Like, that's not saying much. Kind of. Not saying much. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. But, like, it was nice to see, like, Swift, like, get, like, all of the carries. I think, like, he had, like, 73% of the snaps or something like that. So, I forgot the exact numbers. But I know Kerryon and AP each had, like, 7 to 9 snaps, something like that. So, it was nice to see Swift actually be the number one back. We've been saying this for a while. You got to feature this kid. You took him at 35. When you draft guys early, you have to freaking use them, right? And they finally did that. It took long, but at least they did it.
Yeah. What about you, Malcolm?
It just shows, and the reason, I guess the reason why Pierre is liking the play calling so much this game versus the other game, because with Swift, it's not just running up the A-gap.
No, you're right.
You could do so many things. You could do counters. You could do stretch plays. You could, there's so many, you know, the screen. You could even have him out wide and have him just you know, make plays.
He did all that. He's
a guy.
He was out wide, play action.
Yeah. He's a guy that he just needs the ball in his hands. And
absolutely.
That's, I mean, I think this is something that they could take going forward, which could be a positive for this team. And it could make this offense even better if going forward, you know, they use Swift everywhere. And Swift, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but you might have to turn your offense towards Swift now. I mean, he might have to be like the face of this offense right now.
I mean, we'll see. We got Galladay coming back hopefully soon.
I mean, Dusty's going to open things up even more.
That's better for everybody.
That's better for everybody. He's going to open up things more. So the more you get Swift involved, and I mean, you know, Kenny Galladay is going to get more opportunities. We saw Marvin Jones come out of nowhere, and he had one of his best games last week.
Well, you told fantasy owners to bench.
First of all, I was listening to you, Tyler.
What?
Yeah, I was listening.
How did this narrative change to me?
I'm with Malcolm. You did say that. You texted in the chat.
I heard you. I
get this whole narrative flipped on me now. When Malcolm clearly said on last episode, I asked him because he is a Marvin Jones owner. I said, "Are you starting Marvin Jones?" He said, "Absolutely not. I'm not starting."
This is why I might lose this week. Because I had goddamn bitch.
25 plus, you lost.
Yeah, but Tyler, why is this here in the text messages? Yo, Malcolm, make sure you bench Marvin Jones.
I want proof. I'm post this on Twitter.
I'm messing with you, bro. You did not text. I'm just messing with you.
Pierre's going to hire Colton from Lions Royalty to make a Photoshop picture of me saying that now.
That's going to do all that. But that would be funny, though.
But Marvin Jones, I'm telling you, Swift, he made it easy for everybody. And yeah, this is definitely one of Bevel's this year, one of his better games. He called. He was taking shots outfield, and he utilized Swift, and that's what you got to do, man.
I agree. Offense was, I mean, it was fun. I mean, your boy Quintez Cephas, though, man, they tried to get him involved.
Cephas.
I mean, that guy is just not. I don't know if he's thinking too much. Had a drop, and then like Stafford threw like a game-winning touchdown.
Mistracked the ball.
Tracked it wrong. I don't know what he was doing. He was behind the defense.
I don't even know how Washington would let him get behind the defense like that.
Bro, his route running is really good. I'm not gonna lie, he was getting separation, but the guy can't catch.
He was wide open, got behind the defense. All he needed to do was just keep running at the same pace, and the ball's gonna land right there. It's gonna land right to him.
I know,
he slowed down, he tried to find the ball. I'm not sure if he lost in the lights. I don't know what happened, but man.
There was no fans. What do you mean lights?
The lights are still on.
I mean, but like, I don't. It actually looked really embarrassing. That was bad.
It was bad. Shit, I don't know what happened.
I know this guy is not going to punter anytime soon.
Yeah.
Stafford threw a slant dart. I mean, you have to catch that. I know he threw it really hard, but you have to catch that. The one he dropped. Earlier, I think it was earlier in the game. I forgot when it was, but he dropped it.
Drops are coming an issue with this team. I know we say it every week, but they're coming an issue every week, man. Every week, there's at least one crucial drop every game.
Yeah,
it's last year they didn't have that issue. Last year they were really clean in that department. This year, I mean, I think they already passed their drops from last year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong though, but it's a disaster.
I know Talib at one point during the broadcast, or whoever his partner was, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but they mentioned that he had 22, the Lions have 22 drop passes in this game, or not in the game, but in the season.
Yeah.
That's far too many. 22 drop passes.
In what, 10 weeks?
Yeah. Nine games, because they had a bye.
Nine games. So that's not good at all. But, I mean, besides the few drops we had, I think offensively, we played damn near really good offense. We had a good offensive game.
Yeah, it was good.
And even with that good offense that we had on the field, we still allowed a Washington football team to cut into a 21-point lead.
Yeah, let's transition now to the defense.
How the hell did that happen?
The defense. The defense.
So when Washington was starting to come back, Detroit was almost exclusively in man. And, bro, even Talib said it. They kept running crossers on us and completing them, dinking and doinking their way to the end zone. Crosser, 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 crosser. At some point, they rushed three, a lot. Why are you rushing three against freaking Alex Smith? Send the house at him.
And this pass rush sucks. It sucks, man.
I don't know, two pressures yesterday. But the thing is, though, why are you rushing three and playing man? You're not going to pressure the quarterback. What, are you trying to get covered sacks? I don't understand the rushing three concept. It doesn't work. It might work once in a while, but it doesn't work that well. They got to stop doing that.
Rushing three, I mean, it works at times. It makes sense at times.
Yeah, if you're going to play a cover four, and you're going to send three and send everybody else in coverage.
It makes sense.
It's effective.
They run it way too often, though. That's a problem.
It didn't work yesterday, bro. It didn't work yesterday that well. It really did not. I mean, Washington was literally completing every... Alex Smith had all day. He was even scrambling in the pocket and just looking for guys to throw to.
I mean,
they brought some weird formations, too. You look at the All-22. They were trying to generate pressure in different ways again this week.
And they have. I'm telling you, they have packages. They have formations that they send out on second and long and third and long to put pressure on the quarterback. They have those packages. But the thing is, if they're on third and short or second and short, they don't bring those packages out.
Yeah,
they keep the big boys.
They play like off man too. You got to play press when it's third and short. Third press, you play off man. They're gonna get the completion soft zone. But you're getting a big ass cushion, bro, and they're already completing it. So try something else.
I know, but you would want that completion in front of you instead of behind you.
But you're giving up the first down then.
You're giving up a touchdown then. Because if Terry McLaurin gets behind you, you get a touchdown.
Yeah, especially with this pass rush.
He's speedy. I mean, you got to give him I don't know about everybody else, but Terry McLaurin, you have to give him a cushion.
Yeah, it's
route running is insane.
Another thing I want to bring up. So in the first half, this is from ESPN stats. So in the first half, the Lions ran 30.4% man, 69.6% zone percent, and then in the second half, they ran 62.9% man and 37.1% zone. So they gave up 3 points in the first half and 24 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Is that a coincidence?
I don't know. I really don't know, man.
I mean, is that a coincidence?
This defense sucks, man. It's coming back to life what we expected it or what it was earlier in the year. I mean, they're not really doing a great job stopping the run again. They're giving a bunch of yards in the past.
So, Malcolm, what are your thoughts on, do you think that's a coincidence where they played, where they gave up 3 points, they played mostly man in the first half, and they gave up 24 points when they played mostly man? Is that a coincidence, or is that,
You mean zone in the first half?
Yeah, my bad. Zone in the first half, man in the second.
I mean, some teams, some guys do that, man. You know how they say in clutch moments, you got to go to your bread and butter?
This is not their bread and butter, though. It might be Patricia's bread and butter, but it's clearly not the team's bread and butter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And then, it seems like whenever they get the lead, they do this all the time. They just kind of all right, we're just going to take our foot off the pedal. We're just going to, ride this through and see what happens. And every time they do that, they give up a lead. 24-3 against Washington, you should keep that and build up on that, you know?
I agree with you that the fact that they allowed that to even happen pissed me off. I was so mad.
I mean, I tweeted yesterday, even if the Lions win, Patricia should still not have a job the next day or whatever it was. Well, he really shouldn't.
You're not going to fire him for that.
No, obviously not. Ownership would never do that. But, I mean, how – I don't know how to say it. I'm kind of lost for words. How do you give up –
How do you let Alex Smith do that to you? Is that what you're trying to say?
How do you give up 21 unanswered points to the Washington football team?
Alex Smith cooked us.
He had a
He saw our soft defense, the soft coverage, and you heard the phrase "take what's given," you take what's given to you. That's what he did the whole game.
You remind me of what Mitch Trubisky did to us in the first game.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Why? Because Alex Smith had a career high in yards yesterday.
Yeah, he did, but like I said, I think that's inflated, bro. His average was 7.1 yards per throw.
I mean, that's dingus. Fourth quarter, he was taking some shots.
He was taking some shots, but
He
threw how many passes? What, 50?
Yeah, he threw almost 50 passes.
50 passes. I guarantee you five of those passes went more than 15 yards.
He
threw 50 passes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying in the fourth, it was all the first quarters. The first half, they didn't take any shots at all. It was literally a high school offense. It was just run, the little it was a running back in the backfield with him, and they handed off or a little short pass. It was that was all first half through the first three quarters. But in the fourth quarter, he shredded us apart and taking some shots.
I mean, in the shots that you're talking about, he took. I mean, he completed one third and 15. And one It was 4th and 18. Yeah, he was it 4th and 18 or 3rd and 18?
Fourth and 18.
So he completed 18-yard pass, and then there was another long. It was like a 3rd and long, maybe I think 3rd and 12.
I mean, he took some shots in the middle of the field towards the end of the game when they needed to score fast. I mean, they weren't running that same offense. It was a lot different.
Yeah. But I'm saying I think it's a little inflated. And plus, we kept him out of the end zone. He didn't score any touchdowns.
He got down there, and then they just rushed the ball. I mean, you can't say he didn't get down there.
No, he got down there. He could have
easily thrown a touchdown.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, the
defense is soft. So I mean, yeah, he could. But I don't know. Thing is, I don't want y'all to think I'm trying to defend this bullshit. It was bad. But Alex Smith, I'm the guy Smith the whole night. It looked like it was nothing but dink and doink.
Mainly it was. You're right. 3 quarters it was. But in the 4th quarter, he proved he could do whatever. He was doing whatever the hell he wanted. Really he wanted. I mean, he didn't have any like this defense didn't make any plays really, besides the fumble.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, but Malcolm,
you bring up the dink and doink though, and even Atlanta did that against Detroit. Like at some point, even those yards, like they're still getting yards. Seems they're getting yards out of that, right? Yeah, like you have to, well, you have Atlanta, to like, tighten up a little.
Well, Atlanta, we know we were trying to, you know, not get beat deep.
I know. I'm
that, just was like, general, that was different. Though, that was different. That was a different situation.
I know. In general, though, like teams are still getting these yards on you every week. Every week you're getting beat by crossers. Every freaking week this team gets beat by crossers. There hasn't been a week where they haven't got beat by like at least 5 crossers in the game. They get beat by those every week.
I don't think our defense is good, to be honest with you.
It's not. That's what we're saying. Like, any team can just come in and dink and doink on Matt Patricia's defense.
Probably. Patricia lives and dies by the men don't break, but
yeah, I mean
they break.
He lives like by the like. All right, it's okay. Once they get, he doesn't care about giving yards. He cares about giving up points. So once they get in the red zone, you guys tighten up. That's how he is, sort of. I don't really like that philosophy.
I mean, it is what it is. If you don't give up points, it works. I don't care. But yeah,
that's true.
They're giving up points. That's the problem.
They give up a shitload of points. Yeah. No, I mean, Washington.
They're not giving up points, though. I don't think anybody cares. We're all fine by the bend, don't break. But the problem is, it's breaking. It's bending and breaking. It's not just
broken,
bending.
God damn it.
It's breaking. It's not just bending.
It's just broken, God damn it.
Yeah.
It's a mess. The defense sucks. The pass rush is. It's just back to last year or the last, you know, couple of years. I mean, this pass rush sucks, man.
But they're missing a guy from the interior that could pressure. They really are.
Look at the guys they have. They have Danny Shelton, John Penasini, and Nick Williams, who was out.
On third downs, they don't really have like, a guy who could penetrate the pocket and move the pocket. Like, they need a guy from the middle.
No, I understand. I agree. I'm saying Frank Kieran was their guy.
Yeah.
Frank Kieran.
Yeah,
I think they overthink the situations. Like, you gotta look at it this way. Romeo Okoro has how many sacks?
Six.
How many? He has 6 right now?
Whatever. He's a lot.
He has 6. Now, he has 6 sacks playing very limited. Like, we had these guys out consistently. Downs 1 through 3, we'll probably have a better outcome. Romeo Okoro probably have more sacks right now.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, he's only out there in packages where they're there to rush the passer, but he's not out there in first down.
Yeah, he's not
a good run defender. That's why.
I mean, shit.
You know how they are. They want to defend the run first, and so they bring in their big packages. Yeah, and then they have their big.
I know that, but I'm talking about like getting pressure on the quarterback and stuff like that. We probably be in a better situation. We started these guys
playing the whole game. You're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean. Like if they had a 4-3, they say they're running a 4-3. One more Corby out there, you'll have probably Griffin on the other side. And then you have your two D tackles.
Yeah.
But you'll have more opportunities to make plays.
No, you're right. Because you're right. Romeo Corby only plays around 50-some% of the snaps.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like we have our best pass rushers playing 50% of
the snaps. And we don't have a Jack linebacker that gets pressure at all.
No, because that's Christian Jones.
Well, yesterday it was a lot of Austin Bryan, which he was okay.
He's actually looked like, for like a guy who hasn't played, he's looked solid. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
He's okay, yeah. So
good for him, man.
Yeah, it's usually Austin Bryan, Christian Jones, or Reggie Ragland in the Jack, and sometimes Jamie Collins. They just don't generate any pressure.
I thought Ragland, like by the eye test, I didn't rewatch the game, but I was watching the game. I thought he had a really good game. I didn't see his PFF score or whatever. Just from the eye test, I thought he played well. Raglan played well yesterday.
I mean, I think Raglan's having a hell of a year.
I mean, yeah, he's having run. A good year.
He stops the run. He doesn't get pressure on the court. I mean, I know it's not his job, and it's not what he's known for, but he's part of that base set. Deshaun Hand is not really getting pressure to the quarterback this year from the interior.
He's been good against the run, though. He's just not getting pressure.
We're not getting, like, we just don't have a guy that gets pressure on the quarterback from the interior, like you mentioned. So
they signed Nick Williams to be that, and then they realized he wasn't that, so they used him on their early two-down package where they try to stop the run. And it's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be difficult to fix this because they want to focus on stopping the run, but then it limits the pass rush. And then if they put these guys out there, then they're scared they're going to get carved up by the run. I'm telling you, man. I mean, like, you guys shit on him, but I think Trey Flowers makes a difference because he does both. He does both at a solid level. He's really good against the run, and then I think he's a solid pass rusher.
He's also down the field on first and second down.
Oh, he definitely should be, though.
He should be. That's what I said.
He is most of the time, like, for the most part.
He plays a lot when he's on the field.
But he's on the field on first and second down.
Not always, but he's on
there. Sometimes he is, though.
He's on there.
Because he's good against the run.
Yeah, he's really good at setting.
It's usually him, Shelton, Penasini, and then they'll have their Jack linebacker who will be their...
Not since Jacksonville.
No, they still put Trey Flowers on first and second down. For sure.
Bro, since Jacksonville, when I was at Jacksonville game. At Jacksonville.
Look at the Colts game. Look at the Falcons game. The Trey Flowers
He's out there on second and third down.
He's still out there if I'm not mistaken, he's still out there on first down.
Trust me, they run a 3-4. Their 3-4 is with Nick Williams, Penasini,
Shelton,
and Danny Shelton. They have Raglan. They were running Christian Jones. And in the middle was Tavai and Jamie Collins. But that's crazy, right? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why not have your best guys out there?
Yeah.
It makes just, it's mind-boggling. Why not have your best guys out there?
I'm watching the
field. You know, you paid a guy $90 million or whatever it is, and he's not on the field on first down. I mean,
this is mind-boggling to me. I mean, I guess it's because they want to stop the run, and it worked against Jacksonville. It worked against Atlanta. It was a big, big front.
Flowers is good against the run, though. Like, he doesn't get, like, stuffed. Like, he's good at setting the edge. Like, people rarely, like, can run on his side. Like, he's good at defending his side.
When you're playing a 3-4, bro, your lineman has to be at least 290, 280. You gotta have a big front. Yeah, and that's just the lineman. Your left end, your right end, and your nose tackle, they gotta be big as fuck.
Even these third down rushes, man, these are sus.
You just see them do stunts and stuff, and they just get it going nowhere, right? You see it, right?
I'm watching right now.
It's sad, bro, because you're watching them doing stunts. They're trying everything possible to try to get the quarterback, and it's just not working. It's getting picked up.
Jared Davis, Flowers, Romeo, and they put Raglan in a stunt. He comes back.
He got picked up, didn't do shit.
Raglan has power. They try to use his power. I've seen that, but he rarely like gets he rarely like can move it. It's weird what they do. They've actually tried so much shit. I can't even keep track. They have Collins sometimes, and Collins on the outside.
I've seen them put Danny Shelton on the outside.
How about Romeo Okwara on coverage right now? I'm looking at.
Romeo
is dead ass 10 yards past the fucking line right now.
Oh, Lord.
All right, guys, let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll get into our baller oopsie doops of the week. And then, as always, our Monday voicemail. So we'll be right back.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is crucial. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job sites, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there is no long-term contracts. And now,
Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resume on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going an extra mile to make sure you get every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to teams, players, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start wagering on wins, divisions, and championship features all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget, use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, guys. So, Pierre, you got a Lions victory. You got some options this week. Who is your baller of the week?
Man, I'm kidding. DeAndre Swift. So he had 21 touches, 149 yards, one touchdown. And you saw the difference he makes on the field. You run it on the inside, run it on the outside, play action, screen pass. He could do it all. And I thought yesterday I also saw him pick up a blitz. So his pass pro is getting a little better. So that's also a positive. So DeAndre Swift, baby.
All right. And co-candidate, I think, deserves it is Matt Stafford and Matt Prater.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, if this was my segment, I'd be giving it to those guys as well. Those guys played really well.
Yeah. I think Swift's game opened up the entire offense, though. I think the offense ran through Swift yesterday. That's why I gave it to him. I didn't think about Stafford, but Swift opened up the entire offense.
But I would say 16 seconds Stafford had to get into field goal range with three timeouts. I mean, that's impressive. I don't care. I don't care how you put it. That's impressive.
Yeah, impressive field goal, too, obviously, by Prater.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. And dude, shout out to Prater, too. Like I think he got his confidence back. He made two big field goals yesterday.
Yeah, that was huge.
So that was huge for his confidence. Huge. And even me, I was like kind of questioning, like, all right, is Prater, like, does he still have it? And I'm back on the train now. Prater's still my kicker, and he just needs to keep it up.
He needs to make two more kicks for me to be back on his train.
Bro, he drilled a 59er that probably would have been good from like 64.
I get it. He drilled that thing. If I see him on the field and he has to make a 49-yard field goal, my heart's still going to be pumping, bro. It's like, oh, fuck.
Like, oh, Did you know he's 22 for 22 on game-winning field goals or tying field goals?
He's big time, man, since being in Detroit.
Ooh.
Yeah, the guy's clutch, man. Even Stafford. Stafford and Prater are clutch, and that's huge for us. Our two guys, when we need clutch, are clutch.
That's what's up, man.
I just wish they did it all throughout the game, but yep.
Hopefully you just wish like they took a knee or whatever, but you know, everything is hard with Matt Patricia.
Yeah, it's like I didn't want to see Stafford back on the field.
I just wanted to see him take that knee. Unfortunately, they didn't. So
it is what it is. They won the game, whatever.
Oh, boo-hoo. Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
All right. Oopsie doopsie of the week, Mr. Krabs. What up, boy? Our oopsie doopsie of the week, our MVP, Matt Patricia. This is oopsie doopsie of the week. I don't know. There's no way to twist it. This defense collapsed in the second half. You can give it to Corey Edlin, whoever. The defense in general was just, it was not good, man. Pass rush stinks. The secondary stinks. Linebackers. I think besides outside of Jamie Collins and maybe Reggie Ragland.
He played well yesterday.
Sure. The defense was bad. So I'm going to give it to Matt Patricia. I mean, like you mentioned, just another collapse in the fourth quarter. This is so opposite of Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell was the complete opposite. Jim Caldwell would get off to slow starts and then come back towards the end and maybe be short or obviously win the game. Matt Patricia is the complete opposite. He gets off to fast starts and does not know how to hold on to a damn lead. So Matt Patricia and company, Corey Udlin, are this week's oopsie doopsie of the week. Let's do the voicemails now.
Cause some came in the mail today. These nuts. Got him.
All right. It's voicemail time. I mean, I know you guys called in. A lot of people were upset about the game. A lot of people were happy about the game. But let's go dive into these voicemails. Let's go to the first voicemail. Voicemail.
Hey guys. Love the show. It's Trev. I've called in before. I just want to say this is a mixed feeling game. Yes, I'm happy that my boys won, as always. But also, there's a lot of things I was just upset with where I wouldn't have been too upset if they did lose, because again, it's that weird thing. Patricia would have been gone. But I want to say that our boy Matt Prater got back on it with that clutch game-winning kick, and Stafford looked good today. And surprise, surprise, DeAndre Swift is an actually good running back if you give him the chance. I don't know where or how all of a sudden the coaching staff got the idea to, you know, actually start him. But the kid was good today. And I honestly think, here forward, he should be the starter. Now, they want to do the rotation or whatever, that's fine. But DeAndre needs to get majority of the snaps. The kid was good. He showed, those weren't even flashes to me. That just showed what he could do. So he's gonna have a good future with us, I think. But the defense was just, I don't know, the tackling was god awful, and then I don't know what it was in the second half, between the third or fourth, all those open receivers and just the horrible tackling. But that can't happen. Anyway, go Lions. You guys, love the show. Keep it up. Thanks.
All right. Dabo, you got any comments about that? Thank you for calling. Well, that's first of all.
He basically said what we said. Like,
yeah.
No disagreements.
No, you're good, man. I guess let's go to the next voicemail. Voicemail.
Hey, guys. Jeff here. Honestly, not too many thoughts on the game itself. Good game from Marvin Jones and DeAndre Swift. Keeps proving why he deserves more touches than he's getting. Honestly, I just don't feel emotionally connected to this team anymore. Well, more so to the games anymore because of the coaching staff and the regime. I don't care if they won the game. I really don't. You barely beat a 2-6 Washington team without a name. Well done. But I'm just so ready to open up Instagram one day and see one of you or all three of you post that Quinn and Patricia and Bevel and Unlin have been fired. I'm just so ready to see them out of Detroit. The way I feel about this team is on par with the same way I felt about the team during the Matt Millen era. So I'm just ready for them. I'm just ready for the next people to come in. I'm so sick of this team. I'm so sick of when Washington tied it up, made it 24-24, I was like, you know what, fuck it. Let's just see Washington win. Maybe the Fords will finally see reason to fire this awful regime we have. But I'm over it.
No, I thought Jeff hit it right on the nail, man. I told you guys to start the episode, I didn't have that same emotional connection. I'm just not in it, man. I told you, I feel the same way I felt last year. Like, we won the game. It was nice. He saw some nice things. But at the end of the day, like Jeff mentioned, you were playing a 2-6 team previously before the game. a team that doesn't have a name. They're the football team. That's their team name, is the football team. I don't know, man. I think this team sucks still. I think they blow. And I'm like, Jeff, man, I just want this thing to end, man. I'm so sick of this false hope of Patricia and Bob Quinn and, like, we're 4-5. We have these two easy games. If we get by, maybe we're above 500. We're setting up for an interesting December, meaningful games, just like Sheila Ford asked for. Like, dude, I don't want this. Like, this team showed me already what they've shown me. I don't know. If they do somehow win these next two games, I think they're going to get exposed again. They're going to buy some people back in. And I'm not letting it happen. I'm not letting them break my heart again this year. Because unless they actually do it, I'll have to see to believe it. I'm not buying in false hope. I'm not going optimism. I'm like Jeff, man. It is what it is.
So are you waiting for the Tampa Bay game? So if they beat Tampa Bay, how would you feel?
Yeah, that's a long way from now. If they get to Tampa Bay, they're competitive. That game means something by December. That game means something, which I don't think it'll mean anything by then. But if that game means something,
and they win,
I'll buy back in.
Do you buy back in? So that'll be the game that'll make you buy back in.
It would have to be they have to win these next two games and win the first couple games in December, or at least look good in these December games where I can maybe see something. Because I didn't take anything away from that game yesterday. I really didn't take anything away from that game.
Really? Not even a better offense, maybe?
That defense, like, yeah, they have a good front four, but we mentioned their run defense blows. Washington's run defense wasn't good. Yeah, they passed the ball, but...
Yeah, we're talking about Stafford here.
I can't. I can't do it, man. No. It didn't impress me. If anything, I was more disappointed than what I thought the game was going to be. I didn't think it was going to come down to that. It shouldn't have come down to that.
It shouldn't have.
I personally want to see them stop their run when they play, like, Dalvin Cook again, Aaron Jones, and Derrick Henry. That's what I want to see.
Not happening.
Then there's no point. I mean, if you don't stop those runs, then you're going to lose all those games, probably.
There's no way in hell they're going to stop Dalvin Cook with that package that they have. Their big upfront run package. They have no chance. They need to switch it around. Derrick Henry? Nah.
Aaron Jones?
Honestly, I hope Aaron Jones goes out. That'd be fantasy playoff time.
Yeah.
I mean, give me another 40 points. I was more connected to my fantasy team yesterday than I was connected to the Lions yesterday.
Even Ronald Jones, he had a 98-yard run yesterday. So they got some, like, Mike Davis, too, good back, playing him. That will break that down on Sunday. Mike Davis is pretty good too. So they're inconsistent with stopping down, right? When some days they'll do it and other days they don't. And
I think it's depending on the back. I think it's a matchup problem. It's like boxing, you know, styles make fights. It's the same thing. I think the defense, like, their front, they could stop some running backs. But there's some running backs like Dalvin Cook that this front just not gonna be able to stop like that. Like, they need to go to the drawing board to figure some of this shit out, because this shit ain't it. If they go try to bring that same 3-4 and try to bring it to Dalvin Cook with, you know, having no speed and, you know, you're missing tackling, it's not going
to
happen.
Fundamentals, Pat Lovell got to coach it better.
So, okay, go back to the caller now. What Jeff said, how do you guys feel? Are you guys in line with Jeff?
I talked about it earlier. I wasn't ready for it to end. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, are you guys, like, ready for this to end, or, like, you guys still, like, okay with writing this out?
Look, I want to see this team succeed, but I don't trust this regime. That's where I am right now.
I just don't see an end goal with this.
That's regime. What I'm saying. Like, I don't.
So I just want it over with. Like, I just want it done.
I was hoping that they fired him after the Vikings game. I thought that was it, but, like, apparently it's not. It wasn't. Apparently it wasn't. Like, but I mean. Do I want to sit here and watch the Lions lose every game? No, man.
No, it's depressing, bro. Like, losing sucks. But, like, yeah, so, at the same, like, time... Same thing.
Did you guys have fun watching that game yesterday?
I would
have
had fun if they didn't blow a 21-point lead, bro.
It was fun at first when it was 24-3. I'm not going to lie.
Right now. I'm going to quote you here. You said this game is boring.
I said it was boring because Washington was playing boring. But, like, it was fun, like, being up. That's what I mean by that. It was fun, like you're comfortable, right? And then you're like, oh, shit.
I would have had a much better mood. I would have had a much better mood if they would have beat them 24-3. If that was the ending score of the game, if they would have beat them 24-3, I think we'd have been like, okay, we beat a bad team, but we dominated. It is what it is, you know?
You're completely right. If they won this game by 20-plus, they won the game how they played the first half. If they won this game like Jacksonville, I'll take some positives. I'll give credit where credit's due. That did not happen on Sunday.
It didn't happen on Sunday,
and that's why I can't get emotionally connected with this team right now. They show me nothing for me to get emotionally connected. They show the same old shit they've been doing the last 3 years now, what they've been doing this year. I mean, what is there? There's nothing to believe. I wasn't, you know, there for the Matt Millen era, but from what I've heard, it's the same shit, if not worse.
Yeah, this is worse because I'm telling you, Matt Millen era, we didn't have a quarterback, and it was just chaos.
Matt Millen
was terrible. His drafting was terrible. Everything was terrible. Nothing went right.
Calvin.
Yeah, he also drafted Roy Williams, Mike Williams, Billy Williams. He drafted anybody named Williams that could play wideout pretty much.
Joey Harrington, Drew Stanton. Who else did he draft?
No, but he wasn't good. Yeah, this is comparable to the Matt Millen era, I guess you could say. It's comparable. But I would say, like, I mean, record-wise, it was worse back then. But this is, like, the same shit. And the only thing is that you have a quarterback that gives you a chance to win a game. Yeah, back then, the Lions, you watched the Lions game, and you knew the results. They didn't have a chance to win any game because they didn't have a quarterback. Matt Stafford gives you that slight chance to win games.
Let's say, like, Chase Daniel was starting. Do they even win two games if Chase Daniel's a starter?
Probably not.
What, here?
Yeah.
They won't win it. Just like last year, they won't win a game.
So, like take Stafford out of the equation. This team sucks, basically.
You take Stafford out. This is an 0-16 team.
With Stafford, they suck. Without Stafford, they suck.
Without Stafford, they're 0-16, bro. They're not winning
a game. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With Stafford, they suck. Without Stafford, they suck. I mean, what else do you need to see? This team sucks.
Let's just go to the next voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Ivan. Just seeing your post on Instagram through the Pride Podcast page. This game doesn't really change my perspective from the coaches. Really doesn't for anyone. We totally saw what happened. They were almost blowing the lead and could have won that basically one night game. So it really doesn't really change anything. So I'm still skeptical to see what happens down the road. I believe they play North Carolina next week, so that would be a tough game for sure. But yeah, that's basically it. It doesn't really change anything. So sad to know, because we basically deserve better, you know. Been going through this a long time, so it really sucks. So yeah, I'm going to spice up some things. I'm going to do my Oopsie Doopsie of the Week and Baller of the Week. So Oopsie Doopsie for sure goes to the coaches. That defense was just bad. It was so bad to watch. Nothing really to say. And Ball of the Week would be, Swift, our guy. That dude was baller. I did see his stat. I think it was like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was like 149 yards in the touchdown. So that's good time to watch from a rookie. So he was my Ball of the Week. So that's about it. Keep it up, guys. See ya.
Tyler, he's about to steal our jobs, bro.
You got the same results.
You got the same exact results as you guys, man.
Yeah, he's about to steal our job, man.
No, I mean, like I mentioned, I agree 100%. I'm not bought in. I don't think it changes anything.
Yeah, let's go to the next caller.
Next caller. Voicemail.
Hello. I just wanted to call in and say that, to be honest, the win didn't really even excite me because we had a 24-3 lead, you know. And it's hard to get excited when your team constantly blows leads. I mean, at the start of the year with Chicago, and then we were doing good. We got to a nice start against New Orleans, 14-0, and then like 4 unanswered touchdowns. I love my Lions, but it's hard to get excited over them, and when they do stuff like this, the win doesn't feel well deserved. Washington should have won this game. I mean, you think about it, the offense, they do it every game, get a nice lead, we go into the fourth quarter, offense starts to go 3-and-out, defense gives up long, lengthy drives that end in a TD. I just don't see. I don't see this team winning six games this year. Maybe, or maybe not even. Maybe they won't even win another game this year. I mean, they have a cakewalk of a schedule on the way. But if you do stuff to this against the Washington football team, I don't think you're going to have a chance at making the playoffs at all. And I don't think they will until they. It all starts with firing Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. Caldwell was good. They said 9-7 wasn't enough, and look at what happened now. Last year, 2 years ago, 6-10. After this year, 3-12-1, and this year so far 4-5. I would just like to see Patricia win 7 games this year. But knowing how it is, we're probably going to lead in all of our next games and lose all of them. Go Lions! Thank you.
I mean, this guy is smart, right? Like, Patricia, that's been the thing in his tenure, right? He gets a lead, then he blows it. I forgot how many numbers he, how many blown leads he has. He has a lot of them. Do you have the numbers? Do you guys know?
I'm just saying.
Last time it was like 18, right?
19, 20.
Well, we've said him on this podcast, not on the Sessa, but we've said him on this podcast a lot. I don't even want to go back and look.
I mean, whatever, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not, if this is like maybe a good team, like, and they blew a lead and still won, I can maybe take something away from it. But like, this was the football team.
They don't even have a goddamn name.
A football team.
They don't even have a goddamn name.
I know. Like, I told you, it's just not impressive to
me. They're just a football team.
I think everyone's agreeing with me so far. Ever since I said my first response, I think everyone said like very similar stuff to what I'm saying. I just haven't had any disagreement yet. It's just, yeah.
All right, let's go to the next voicemail.
No, this was a garbage win from a garbage team playing another garbage team. This coaching staff has done nothing to inspire any type of loyalty, fandom. It's just bad. Defense is terrible. We give up leads continuously. I think Patricia and his class of clowns have done nothing but suck the life of enjoyment of football out of this team and the fans. He needs to go. No one should be excited about this victory.
Yeah, add that to the list.
Dude, like, this guy is basically saying what we all said. We're like, we weren't as hyped when the game started. Like, what? Like, they're taking the fun out of it for us, you know?
Yeah.
Malcolm goes like, fucking Bevel. And then me and Tyler go like, fucking Patricia.
Yeah.
Add that to the list. It just gets, it's growing. Do we have another one? Let's go. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, we do. Let's go on to this voicemail.
So a lot of things to talk about this game. First and foremost, giving up a 24-3 lead like that is abysmal. It still should cause for Patricia's firing. Although Prater saved our ass and Stafford did what he had to do to get there, this game should be, it could have went either way. It could have been we losing this game again, a nice fourth quarter blown lead, and Patricia should be fired. But Patricia lives on for another week. We'll see how it goes next week if it's another abysmal performance against the Panthers. But that's all I got for you guys. Love the podcast, and can't wait to hear you guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Add on another one to the list. What's the score right now? What's the score?
I don't know, like 7-0, 8-0, or something like that.
Another one.
I mean, this is just facts.
Yeah, and facts. Man, we appreciate the support. He said, like, he appreciates listening to us. We appreciate the support, and we'll always provide you with the best content.
Yeah, so and I'm not.
Thank
and
you
I'm not,
for listening.
Yeah, and I'm not selling you guys on false hope again. I mean, I might have done it a couple weeks ago. I'm not doing it for you guys. I'm telling you, this team straight up is not good. So,
what's Bill?
Hey guys, it's my second time calling in. Last time I was talking about the Stephon Gilmore trade, so I just wanted to give my thoughts on the game. First of all, I was super annoyed, and let's be honest, or I'll be honest here. I did not want the Lions to win. You guys can call me a fake fan, whatever, but I'm just wanting what's best for the team. And the truth is that Patricia isn't going to take us anywhere. Maybe he'll get us as a wild card team, but there's no chance we win a playoff game. He's just wasting players' careers, and I'm done with it. He is ruining our chance at a top draft pick while also not taking us anywhere. And this win just proves that. It's honestly super annoying. The only positive takeaway from this game is that Swift is legit, so that's good. I don't know how to feel. I'm just disappointed in this team, in this coaching. I mean, a 24-3 lead blown. There deserves to be no celebrating after this game. All right, that's my thoughts.
Add another one. I'm not gonna tell this guy to act. Be a fan. Whoever you want to be a fan. If you wanted them to lose, you know, it makes sense. If you wanted them to win, makes sense. I'm not gonna
tell you. If you're team tank, you want them to lose. If you're like, I just want to see the Lions succeed, you want to see them win.
But I am with him though, because it makes sense what he's going with. He didn't say it, but this team is just in the middle. Wouldn't you just rather have a team that completely sucks or a team that's legit? Like, doesn't just suck, like, being in the middle, knowing that you literally have nothing going forward, basically? Like, this sucks.
I mean, I don't know. I've been through that, and that still sucked.
What?
Being in the bottom, you suck.
Yeah, but, like, isn't it better to, like, wasn't it more fun last year, like, maybe having the false hope of, like, having Chase Young, potentially, than this?
Yeah, if you had told me we were get Chase Young, I'd have been happy. But knowing that we didn't get Chase Young is a bummer.
But we were competing for him all year. Like,
he made a crucial mistake yesterday. Just want to break that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I love Chase. I still love to have this guy.
Yep. I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it be more fun, at least right now, for Trevor Lawrence than playing for the 15th pick?
I
don't know.
I mean, the thing is, rookies are not guaranteed. I remember we were playing for Joey Harrington. Everybody was excited for that. And then
I'm just saying,
we all saw how that turned out.
I'm just saying, it's at least more exciting. Like, being this, what is this? What is there to look forward to? There's nothing here.
I mean, the only way you could be excited for tanking, and this is what I'm talking about tanking. If you do it exactly how the Miami Dolphins did it, that is exciting. You're loading up your team with draft picks. You're trading away guys. I get that. But if you're just going to risk it all and say, okay, I suck, let's just roll our franchise on this number one pick, that's not fun either. It sucks.
No, I understand that, but this sucks more, in my opinion.
Both ways, it sucks equally, I'm telling you, bro.
They both suck, but I'd rather be more excited on draft day than picking 15th and winning a couple games, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, this, it means nothing to me. It really means nothing.
Like, top five picks are not always guarantees, and, like,
nothing also is guaranteed.
A lot of top five picks.
No, I mean, we have a pick that was picked at 18, I think, Taylor Decker, and, like, in the 20s, Frank Ragnow. Those guys both worked out. So it's just all about picking the right player. I don't think it necessarily matters where you pick unless you want a quarterback.
Tyler's talking about a franchise changer.
Oh, you're talking about a franchise quarterback.
A franchise changer. A
franchise piece.
A franchise changer, pretty much.
What's the better chance of picking at 1 or picking at 20? What's the chances of you're going to get a franchise piece?
I see what you're saying now.
That's what I'm saying. Obviously, you could find gems undrafted, but that's a given. I'm not saying that. But what's the chances are better? You have a better chance.
Lamar Jackson was late first. T.J. Watt was late first. Like, you could find good players later on.
Tony Romo, I mean, say what you want to say about Tony Romo. He was undrafted.
Yeah, he was undrafted.
Say what you want
to
say
about him. Pretty good quarterback, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, obviously, you could find gems in the mid rounds. I'm not saying that. Or, you know, later in the first round. But the likely chance of getting a star in the top five is way more likely than getting a star at 20, 25, 15, whatever.
Yeah, that is true.
If you're looking at this year, would I be excited being 1-in, what have been the record? 1-in, 6-7?
What are you talking about?
So we're 1-8 right now. Would I be excited saying, "Oh, we're in a running for Trevor Lawrence"? I mean, sure, you could say that. I guess you could say that, but it's still gonna suck losing, bro.
No, 100%. Like, last year sucked, but I think 1-8 would be more fun right now than being 3-7.
Yeah, I mean, again, I enjoy if they're tanking like the way Dolphins did it perfectly.
Like, look at them now.
That was a blueprint of tanking. All right. Yeah. Look like we only have a few more voicemails left. Voicemail.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Detroit Lions are the epitome of mediocre. Okay, mediocre in our standards is okay because that's what the Lions basically make everything off of, right? Mediocre. When's the last time the Lions have had not a winning season, but really a season where they played to the point where they made it deep in the playoffs when they had Bowie back in the 90s, okay? So, really mediocre, and just making it to the wild card is really like the Super Bowl for Detroit Lions fans. So, what I'm really saying here is that them making it to 7-9 is not okay, because I think what we need as Lions fans is that we really need a good winning season. You know, like a good, I mean, obviously we're not going to get it because it's the Detroit Lions, but all we're going to do this season is go 7-9. Okay. And then Matty P's going to get hired again because we're still rebuilding, you know, or we're going to go 8-8, you know, and Martha Ford, she's just going to say, you know, that's fine. Keep them another year. And Bob Quinn, the Quinn Trisha duo is not doing good for us. So, yeah.
I personally think they go 7-9, they're out. I don't bring them back. And the reason why, not just because of the record, but the way they've lost some of these games, the way they've been embarrassed, and the way they've almost even lost some of these games, I just don't see them coming back. I don't know if our ownership knows how football works, though, like how the game works. Like, you know us, like we saw yesterday, deadass, like yesterday, do they know, like, Washington is a bad team? No, I'm being serious. Like, do they know that? Like, do they know how football works? Do they know that they gave a 24-3 lead? I don't know, bro. I don't know if our owners understand and know, like, how actually football works. Because we've seen it time and time again. They're too patient. Like, I would have fired him after the Vikings game, right? But they kept him. I mean, I don't know
how our owners... You probably fired him last year.
Yeah, that ass. Me and Tyler would have fired them both last year. No cap. But
I would have fired him after last year's Vikings game.
Yeah. It's just, do they know? Like, do our owners understand football?
I mean, it's the Fords. I mean, I'm not shocked.
They understand what an F-150 is and what a Mustang is and all that. But do they know what the hell stopping the run is? Giving Lucas a 24-3 lead. Do they know that? Like, do they understand that?
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I think they build the ownership. I think they build a certain relationship with these guys. And it's just hard for them to let go.
You can't do that.
You're not supposed to do that. Exactly. But they're the Fords. And that's how they run a family business. I mean, they got you by like family. You know.
Realistically, though, like how many owners actually know about football? Besides Jerry Jones,
I was just about to say that we need an owner like Jerry Jones who's going to take ownership and say, "Yo, I mean, this person is effing up, and they need to get their shit together."
And I'm just saying, like, I remember Hakeem Valdez said, and he was spot on. He's in like the ownership game is just like owning a country club. It's like something just like to brag about, like, "Oh, I'm the owner of the Detroit Lions. Oh, I'm the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals." Like, I don't know, man. I think, like, it's overrated, but, I mean, it's the only nucleus has been around the whole time, so I can see why you guys question it, and there's so many of them, and they just, like Peter mentioned, they're very patient, but...
It's because everything starts from them, that's why...
No, you're completely right.
Everything starts from them, so they hire the, you know, this guy, they'll either hire the GM or the president, they'll hire that person, person makes the decision to hire somebody else, so their initial hire is bad.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, too, they don't know how to hire people. They hire firms. Like, they're not smart. They don't know league people. Their president doesn't know shit about football. He knows how to make money.
No, I'm not justifying the Fourth at all. I'm just saying, how many owners in the NFL really know what's going on in football? I don't think there's many.
I can tell you right now, the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, Robert Kraft knows about. He knows a lot about what's going on. Do you know?
I would say not even half of them know what football is. Like, what's going on?
I mean, like,
I would say the successful teams owners probably know what's going on.
Maybe.
I think, like, if you own a team, you have to, like, be passionate about it. You have to know what's going on. You have to...
You're too rich to be passionate about a football team. You had to do something to get that money to own a football team. It's like...
Bro, you're paying these guys all these money. Like, you're paying the players. You're paying the GM. You're paying the head coach. Like, you're paying these guys a lot of money to lose. That has to be hard. Like,
yeah, I'm just saying, it's not like the regular fan owning a team, like one of us owning a team. It'd be a lot different. I'm just saying.
There's somebody passionate in there, bro. I mean, I don't know.
Whatever.
I just don't know.
Have you seen Steve Ballmer, man? Holy shit.
Or, I mean, like, look in Detroit, Mike Ilitch. He was very passionate.
Mike Ilitch was, that guy was really smart. He knew what he was doing. His son is kind of cheap, though, so.
Mike Ilitch, I mean, I loved him to death, but, I mean, we're talking baseball now. I don't want to go too far into this, but he kind of held back the Tigers a little far because he wanted to win so badly. But, yeah.
All right, we actually got two voicemails left, so okay. Let's go to the next voicemail. Voicemail.
Hey, guys, this is anonymous Lions fan at Play to Win the Game on Twitter. First, I want to say thanks for giving this opportunity to let the fan base be heard on you guys' podcast. That's really awesome. Second, I hadn't watched this game against the Washington football team just yet. So busy doing other important things. But I imagine how I feel. I've kind of kept up with the score from my phone, and it looked like it was the same old type of situation. You got a big lead and almost surrendered it, relying on a 59-yard field goal from Prater to seal the win. I watched the highlights as well. So there's a few things I want to say. I mean, there's a reason why I'm anonymous. And it frustrates the hell out of me because I've been a Lions fan my entire life. And I saw it when during Patricia's first game against the Jets that he is not the guy for this team. And I was chastised for saying this, but I said it after that first game to fire him right then and there. Because he was obviously not the guy. He was on the sideline like a deer in headlights. His eyes were wide. He had no answer for anything. And it was obvious to me at the time that they were setting themselves up for a potential 8-year rebuild. So they're going to give him 3 to 4 years to turn around. And then you're going to have another 3 to 4 years to rebuild. So, you know, none of this is surprising me. I know, Malcolm, you may not agree when I say this. I know you got that tagline, fucking Bevel, going on. But I'm not sure if these offensive roles are Bevel's fault. I really think he's doing what the head coach, the man in charge, Patricia, is telling him to. Now, I see that it looks like they started Swift over Peterson, thank God, finally. Peterson still has a role in his team, and he still has some left in the tank. But he should not be getting the starter carries over Swift. And it's obvious for what's been going on this whole season. But I really think that Bevel is doing what's asked for him from Patricia. I don't see any creativity in this offense. As everyone's saying, you know, none of this is new. But when you look at what Bevel did when he was with the Vikings, with Brett Favre, Percy Harvin, and Sidney Rice, even when he was in when he was at Seattle, you know, they did a lot of movement around. You know, they used Percy Harvin as a running back sometimes and as a receiver. And I'm not saying the Lions have that type of player, but the Lions have a lot of they have a lot of skill position. They have a lot of talent. They have a way more talented team this year than they did under Mayhew. And I think a competent coaching staff would take this team and they'll be division champions or at least competitors for division champions as opposed to right now where they're looking like the garbage of the NFC North. Well, they are the garbage of the NFC North. So I think it's just a fun.
That shocked me. I've never heard him before. I think you guys know what we're talking about. This guy's from Twitter.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was a shock. Yeah. I never heard him before. I'm glad he called.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Twitter, man.
Yeah, he's always commenting on our stuff. He's very active.
Yeah, man. How do you guys feel about that? Do you think it's Patricia playing mind control? Patricia with mind control over Bevel and making him do this.
I mean, we'll never know.
The thing is, they always Well, first of all, he said the first thing I really agree with. The first game, you knew Patricia didn't have it. That's kind of like, I mean,
that was the worst Lions game I ever watched in my life.
That was probably one of the worst game I watched. But then it's also like year one. Some guys aren't bought in, obviously. You have these issues. So I don't necessarily agree with that statement. First game, you would have fired him. That doesn't make sense at all. Because then you're just proving as it. Because you're then just proving, like, as an owner, oh, like, we fucked up and we're going to about to just buy you out after one game. I don't think anyone would ever do that.
I think what he meant is
he's saying he knew he was a fraud from that game.
Yeah, he knew the future from there.
Like, he should have.
Yeah. He said from that first game, he knew that this wasn't it.
Maybe. And then he mentioned the thing about Patricia, he always has Priest who wants to run the ball, right? Like, they've always said this, him and Bob Quinn. Their draft picks say that. Hawk, tight end, good blocker, he was. Ragnow, really good in the running game, passing game. They drafted two running backs in the second round. So they really want to run the ball. They want to make that their identity. I mean, and Bevel's known for running the ball. They hired a coordinator who loves to run the ball first. You know, in Seattle, they ran the ball a lot down there. They hired him here. So I don't think necessarily Patricia's holding Bevel back. I think Bevel is just being Bevel.
Bevel's just fucking Bevel. I'm sorry, I had to say that. The reason why I say that is because I'm sorry. I'm not putting the blame on Patricia on this one. Bevel,
he hired him.
He can. But Bevel has a love for Adrian Peterson that's not like anything else. He loves Adrian Peterson. This is his guy. He coached him when he was rookie year, I think it was.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he's been in love with him. Like, he was like, oh, I wish I had AP back. Even when he was in Seattle, he was like, oh, I wish I had AP back. Like, he loved Adrian Peterson. So now that he had a chance to have AP back, this whole first, you know, week one through week 10 of Adrian Peterson being the starter, that's Bevel. That's that. Week nine?
Yeah.
One to week nine. That's Bevel. Personnel, offensive personnel, that's Bevel. Unfortunately, that's not Patricia. I can't. As much as I want to put the blame on Patricia, I can't. Yeah, that's just Bevel, fucking Bevel, loving AP. And this is why Swift hasn't been getting the touches.
And you look at why Seattle, a lot of Seattle fans really wanted Bevel gone because he'd run the ball too much too. He'd like, they had Russell Wilson, right? He'd run the ball a lot. They were angry.
I don't know about that.
Whatever.
I didn't want him gone because he did dumb shit.
He randomly
did dumb shit. I don't think it's because they ran the ball too much.
Seattle was super excited when they fired him. It was like when we fired J.B. Bob Cooter. Everyone was happy. Seattle fans were ecstatic when they fired him.
Think about it. He cost them the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He cost them the Super Bowl. They wanted him gone from that play. That play, they was like, yo, get this guy the fuck out of here.
I mean, wouldn't you?
But he still survived another year.
Hey, our head coach made that clear. I gave him the biggest 3 things. Remember how we set that in the presser? Like, dude, what the hell?
They wanted him going from that play. I mean, Bevel, he has his moments where he does dumb shit. Like, he overthinks too much sometimes where you're like, yo, what are you doing? Like, there was a play that was like 3rd and 10, and he rolls Stafford out. Like, why does he do that shit?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That play never works.
You're rolling him out. You're basically limiting where he could throw to.
Has that play ever worked before?
No, I've never. It's just not Stafford's. Every time I see it,
I've seen that play, it results in a sack or interception.
What you're doing when you do that, you're basically limiting the side you could throw to. Like, it's very hard to throw across your body. It's like not smart. So you're basically just going this way, and you're basically limiting who you could throw to.
I don't know. Stafford's just not that type of quarterback to be rolling out like that.
I mean, he's dumb.
Was that like a 3rd and 2? Like. I know you don't like running the ball on 3rd and 2, but in situations like that, like, I wouldn't have been mad if he ran the ball on 3rd and 2. Even if we didn't get it, the clock is still rolling.
I mean, and like, when you run it on 3rd and 2, don't have like a jumbo package out on the field to make it obvious you're running the damn football. Like, they do that. They literally do that.
Just hand it off in the shotgun. Do something. I mean, 3rd and 2, I mean, I think Swift could get that. But even if you don't get it, the clock is still moving, man. This is a fourth quarter. You gotta keep the clock moving. You're rolling Stafford out to do what? Why are you having Stafford roll out for?
Yeah. Remember the read option with Stafford? That was hilarious.
Like, why are they having Stafford do this shit?
I don't know. The thing is though, like, when they want to run the ball on 3rd and short, what they do is though, they bring like a jumbo pass. They're basically telling the defense we're running the ball.
And they bring AP in there.
Yeah, so like,
and it's only we're gonna write in this gap right here.
Work, even if it's AP or Swift, whoever the back is, you have three wideouts in, right? The defense is like, they don't have their run package, they have their pass rush package out there. You have maybe a tight end, right? And you just run the ball, you call like a draw or something.
Yeah, and there's a right to shotgun.
You're not it's as predictable, and that works versus having a jumbo pack to be like, hey, we're telling you what to do, you beat us, whoever wins first gets the first down. Like, you have to, like, just simple stuff like that. Like, this is not even creative. This is just, like, simple things where, I don't know, man.
Yeah, man. Fucking, fucking bevel, man. Fuck this shit. All right. Let's go to this call. Voice, the very last call. And before I start this call, I just want to tell everybody, thank you for calling in and leaving these voicemails. We definitely enjoy hearing y'all perspectives on what's going on with the game. It seems like everybody's on the same boat that they want to get this dude the hell out of here. I think we're all in agreement. I think he needs to go. But let's get to the very next, very last voicemail. Voicemail.
What's up, boys? This is Matt, Lion fan, brand new. Just watching you guys, listening to your guys' podcast. Awesome to hear. Quick things, man. I don't know. Super dope. We won. That's awesome. And nothing's going to take that from us that we kicked them. But here's the thing, though, man. That last fourth quarter, very end of the beginning of the third, we gave up so many points. This defense at first was looking hot, and then we just give it up at the end. And, I mean, Washington ain't that great. And we almost let them come back and take us out. So, I don't know. With this coaching staff, it's hard. They got a dub, which means that's locking them in for a much longer time. But do you think these guys have what it takes to get us over that hump? Because from what I'm seeing, they can beat the poo-poo teams. We beat Arizona. But how are we going to play against the teams that actually matter? Minnesota, Green Bay, in our division, we're still last place. Nothing new. All right, boys. Let me know. Have a great one.
We can't beat good teams at consistent level.
They're like an average to below average team. They're not like really bad. They're not really good. They're just stuck right now. So that's what the Lions are. I've said
it a million times. They're in no man's land.
So if the defense was average, like if they were like 16th or 18th versus like 29th or whatever,
we'll have a chance.
They make some noise, right? Like the Dolphins, aren't the Dolphins like 16th or 15th or something like that in defense?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, and their offense, I mean, it's not like nothing spectacular. Their offense works, right? So if you have like a decent defense with a solid offense, you can make some noise, but they don't have like even like...
We don't have either. Our offense is below average. Our defense blows.
The offense is starting to show some signs.
Our offense had one good game. Come on now. It hasn't been good all year.
Dude, you have Stafford, though. You have Kenny Galladay coming back. Yeah, you have Swift.
But it's been 10 weeks. We played 9 games. We've had two good offensive performances.
Yeah, it seems like they're still learning what they have.
Bad defense.
And check that out. And you calling this Washington game one of our good offensive performances, and we still almost lost this game.
Exactly. Yeah, like, and this wasn't, like, I don't even count this as really good. I told you, they got conservative. So it was a good first half.
I mean, we're looking at Stafford's numbers. What, he threw 300 yards, 3 touchdowns?
Stafford was good.
Stafford was sharp.
Stafford was sharp. He played one of his better, probably the best games played all season.
Best game this year, I think.
Okay. And we still almost lost. We blew a 21-point lead with Stafford playing.
To a very bad football team.
To watch the bad football team? I mean, how does that even sound? Stafford played damn near perfect. And we still almost blew a lead to the Washington football team.
And you ran the ball.
No, I take that. We blew the lead. We damn near, we almost lost the game.
And you ran the ball effectively. So you had Stafford playing well. The run game was going. And you still almost lost. So that just tells you, like, they need almost everything to go perfect on offense for this team to even have a chance to even snip a W.
Yeah, because this defense is just not it.
And that offense reverse was not good.
And, like, I don't know, man. I feel like sometimes the coaching staff, too, like, they just put the players in, like, wrong. They don't put the players in positions to succeed always on defense. I think we have some, I mean, not the best players. The D-line is not that good, but I think the secondary guys are good. I don't think they put them in the best position to succeed. I don't think they're using Tracy Walker right. I mean, dude, like, Tracy and Okuda played under 50% of the snaps. That's your first round pick and your third round pick. Why are they not on the field?
I get
Tavai. Tavai played 9 snaps. He's your second round pick. We already know he sucks. Okuda and Walker played under 50%.
That's not nice. So how about we just say he's not good?
No, he sucks.
Can we just say something more? Because
all right, Tavai
is not good. The word Tavai sucks. It just sounds like, man, he sucks. He's not.
He'll be selling Borgia in 2023 with Tease Tabor.
He's not professional worthy.
He'll be selling mortgages very soon.
He might work with Malcolm. Who knows? Like an insurance company or something.
Hey, we're hiring.
Oh shit! All right. All jokes aside, you got all your high picks. They're not even on the field, right? What are we doing here, man? And Okuda and Walker are good players. I just don't think they're using them right. I mean, Okuda's young. He's young. He's still learning. But I don't think they're using Walker to his strength. They're playing him in man coverage. He's not really a coverage guy.
They should learn to put your best players on the field. It's like I don't think they learned that yet. To put your best players on the field. Yeah, keep your best players on the field is just what I should say.
Yeah, they
what
have
game like, was it where they rotated Jonah Jackson. That pissed me off. You're taking your best guard off the field.
They have this thing where if you're paid, you're playing.
Yeah, I get it. Trufant, they paid him. But come
or
on,
Vitae. Not,
yeah, Vitae, same. I mean, Crosby, he ain't balled out. Crosby, no pressures, no sacks.
I think if it was personally me, I'd make Crosby part of the long term plans of this team. I like Crosby. I think he's a good right tackle. He's not like an elite tackle, but he's good. Like he's serviceable. He's good.
He's very good.
You give him a good deal too, probably.
Yeah, but, I mean, but they paid Big V, which is your best abilities available. He's barely on the field. When he's on the field, he makes stupid mistakes sometimes. He'll give up a sack. He'll give up pressure.
He had an okay game versus Minnesota, but
in general, though, has even worked.
I think honestly, with Big V, he's not playing consistent position. Like he could wake up one day, you're like, all right, you're playing guard today. You go up to, guess what? You're back at tackle.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's hard. It's not easy for Vitae. That's not easy. Tell Taylor Decker do that. Tell Taylor Decker one day wake up that he's a guard and have him play guard for a game, and then say, okay, 2 games from now you'll play tackle.
Yeah, but if you wanted this guy to play guard at that point, why don't you just re-sign Graham Galasco?
Tyler has a good point there, for real. you give Vitae all this money. We said we liked Crosby. When they released Wagner, we all said we think they're going to keep Crosby, right? Then they go out and sign Big V. For the running game, they said they wanted to get big in the running game. He was a good run blocker or whatever, but he hasn't really, their best ability is availability. He's not in the field that much. Yeah,
but honestly, I think with Crosby, I think Crosby's, I say development, caught them for surprise. Because I don't think anyone predicted to be Crosby to be as good as he is now. That's why they brought in Big V.
Malcolm, we saw
flashes, but
Malcolm,
come on.
I actually listened to our free agency podcast.
Yeah,
you asked me that same exact question.
And you said
No, I'm going to tell you exactly how it played out. You asked me, who would you rather have right now, Vitae or Crosby? I said, they both don't have much experience because you guys remember Vitae wasn't some starter in Philly either. I said, neither of them have that much experience, but I'd probably take Vitae at the moment.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, Vitae wasn't some experienced right tackle.
He wasn't.
He was
what it was. All it was is that Patricia seen the way he played him when they played that Super Bowl, because he was a starter against Patricia.
Yeah.
And he saw how he, I forgot. I'm not sure if he shut down Trey Flowers. I'm not sure who it was, but he had a good game that game. But ever since then, he's been in love with him.
I wonder if Undlin also saw Flat, because Undlin was obviously worked with him. He knows him a lot from New England. I mean, from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Undlin also had a lot of intel into signing Vitae as well.
It could have. I mean, they're like, look, he could play both. He could play guard. He could play tackle. Wherever you want to put him, he's a big body. He's a huge body.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
So I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. I mean, and I think Terrell Cosby just caught him from left field. Because Terrell Cosby be playing at a very high level.
He's playing a lot better than I expected, obviously.
Honestly, even if Vitae wants to play tackle, they should just keep Crosby at tackle. Remember how the other day they didn't start him at tackle? and then Vaitai got hurt and Crosby came back in.
I mean,
they should just should be the right tackle of this team. Like the way he's the best right tackle.
The way that offensive line played last week, the whoever started just needs to stay in there. Was it Odebushi?
Odebushi played really well.
Whoever started, they just need to keep these guys in there because they played really well. And I'm not down with the whole playing dominoes and flipping guys in, flipping guys out. I don't like that.
All right, guys, that's a wrap to this episode of the Pride Podcast. Hope you guys all enjoyed. And I'm Tyler. I'm signing out. Peace.
All right, guys, appreciate all the support, and I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all, it's your boy Malcolm. And I'm out. Peace.